Today on Real Radio.
Can you give that to Christ? Can you leave that in the hand of God and understand his nature, that he is for you even when you and I lose? What if the court judgment doesn't go our way? God never changes. These are evil days we live in. People don't want anything to do with God. I understand that. But God will use that to build character in our lives.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first 9 verses of chapter 13 tell us of a conflict reported to the Messiah and how he handled it. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Get Smart.
So the question is asked of Jesus by these who are standing by. In their minds, verbally expressed, Jesus answers their question. These Galileans were slain because Pilate had engineered a civil construction program. And that program was to build an aqueduct that would bring water into Jerusalem proper. Sounds like a good idea. Sounds like something we need here. But what happened was Pilate wound up taking money from the temple and taxed the temple, a nonprofit organization, by the way. And Pilate turned and taxed it. A Roman power taxes the temple, or the Jews, takes the money, and they hated him for that. They looked at Pilate as robbing God, and no doubt he was. Turned around to build an aqueduct. The Galileans were the very, very vocal group of people in those days. They were outspoken, they were countrymen, they were stubborn, and they let their voice be heard. They were just like you. And so what happened during a time of worship, Pilate's men came secretly undercover and rose up to try to suppress these ringleaders of this movement to stop this, and it broke out into a melee and men were killed right there where they were making sacrifices. So do you see the question that's in their minds? If God is loving us, if God is caring for us, if God knows, then why did this happen? It's human nature to think that way. And without the Bible ruling our lives, controlling our thoughts, we also will think that way. We'll remove God right from the factor. So how are we to think? When he says in verse 2, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Is that what you're insinuating? Now look, Jesus is God in flesh. He knows their minds. He's not wasting words. He's saying, do you think they were really bad sinners? That's why they died the way that they did? He says to them, look with me, verse 2, I tell you, no. The word in Greek is emphatic. It is a no, absolutely not, no. That's a strong word. Church, you say, why is this important, Jack? What's the big deal? Because listen, the development of this is very critical. It has been in every age, and it is today for us. Are you poor? Are you sick? Are you struggling? Are you unhealthy? The spirit that drives this question is present with people today. Oh, if you're poor, if you're unhealthy, or if you're struggling, you must be far from God. God must not love you. You must be some subterranean Christian. You must have done something in your life. You ever heard that before? If you haven't heard that, then let me put it to you the way that you normally hear it. If you love God, God wants you wealthy, healthy, and wise or whatever, right? The Word Faith Movement. Proclaim it. Speak reality into existence. Just speak it and grab it. It's been said, blab it and grab it doctrine. And a lot of people have fallen for this, but I want you to know something. The Bible never, never said that that would be the way that it is. So why did this happen to these people? Jesus answers them in a most interesting way. By the way, have we ever heard someone say, in fact, didn't Billy Joel sing this song, "Only the Good Die Young"? That's not true, you know. But when somebody who's good dies and they're young, we think that that's a big atrocity. We think that's a horrible thing, don't we? Oh my goodness, he was so young. Well, wait a minute, man. If he knew the Lord, he got to heaven before he had to live through all of this grief that you and I have had to go through. Think about it. It seems strange to us because we want them here. But what if God wants them there? Does he not have that right? Is not heaven the destination that we long for? Have you ever laid someone to rest in a grave who knew the Lord Jesus Christ? In all honesty, would you dare bring them back? And if you would bring them back, who are you bringing them back for? Nobody but you. Think about it. They don't want to come back if they're with the Lord. They might shout down through a cloud and say, "Hey, back off. Stop praying for me. I'm up here, you're down there. I'll see you when you get up here, big, because I ain't going back to that thing." But somebody will say, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" You ever heard that? That's an interesting thing to ask. The question is flawed. That's an ignorant question. It's an uninformed question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Listen. Bad things, then, by what you're asking, bad things are not to happen to good people. That's what you're saying. Yes, bad things should not happen to good people. Okay? Or you're also saying bad things can only happen to bad people. Wouldn't you like it if it was that way? Oh, man, that bad things happened to that person. Conclusion, he must be what? Bad. So if you're going to wish a wish, then wish a big one. Let's have bad things only happen to bad people. And only good things can happen to good people. Do you realize how sick that is? Think about it. All of a sudden, the scales of some of your eyes are coming back saying, I kind of do see that, but not really. Well, then let me punch you with this one. By that form of logic, good things can only happen to good people, but that doesn't happen. None of these things happen with absolute clarity. So why do bad things happen to good people? How about if I turn that around and say, why do good things happen to bad people? Huh? Didn't King David say, "I went in and I saw and I was upset and I saw how God blessed the unrighteous man"? And he was angry at that. He said, "God, break their teeth off in their mouth," he prayed. What a great prayer, huh, that is? Don't tell me you haven't felt like that. He says, "What is the deal? The unrighteous prosper." It's not so much the question, why do bad things happen to good people? The accurate, true, honest question, the informed question is this: why do good things happen to anybody? Listen, did you know that both in the Bible and in the English language, the word good is reserved for God only? That's why Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is who? God." He was trying to provoke or evoke out of that man a confession. Like Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus was saying, "Why do you call me good?" The right answer is because you and you alone are good. There is no good man. And all the women said, a little early for you, is it? The word good is reserved for God alone, but we use it so freely. Oh, he's so good. What does that mean? The Bible says there are none righteous. No, not one. Now let's remember that. Even in our judgment, as these men are saying, these guys died a strange death at the temple while they were in worship. Boy, God must have been upset with them. Jesus said, "No way, not true." John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation," that is difficulties. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Church, are you a Christian this morning? Jesus just promised you and I difficulties in this life. So then why do you and I think that if we stub our toe, get a flat tire, or our child dies, that God hates us? that God must not like us. And we might live the rest of our lives under a cloud of incredible self-guilt, thinking that we've done something to disfavor ourselves from God. Not true. Don't get me wrong. When we sin, it produces a result. But it doesn't change God's heart of love toward you. Are you not a Christian this morning? The Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. But that word does not mean he doesn't want you to come to heaven. Oh, he may be angry with your conduct. He's just and holy, but he loves you, and he sent his son Jesus for you, that you could go to heaven and be with all the rest of us here that trust Christ, who see how much we need him. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy." This is an awesome verse. "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That's tribulations and difficulties. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be found complete or fulfilled and complete, lacking nothing." Ladies and gentlemen, church, get this in our hearts. Even in the midst of atrocities that do not come from the hand of God, it could come from injustice and evil and men who are driven for demonic reasons, atrocities. Know this, even in the midst of those terrible things that happen, man against man, God can work those things around to whereby you come out and I come out a victor in those terrible things. If somebody comes against you, if somebody comes against us, if somebody tries to condemn this church or your life or whatever, listen, God uses those things of man in your life and mine and converts them into great character building situations. And there's no other way that you and I can have character built. No way. A wonderful young man came to me a few weeks ago and said, "Pastor Jack, I don't understand. I'm a wrestling champion, and I wound up losing the biggest match of all. I lost." Listen, and he's only like 18 or 19 years old. He said, "Listen, why would God do that to me?" Now stop right there. Have we not all felt that way at some point in time? This guy was a Christian. He prayed and asked God to bless his match so he would win the championship. Now, that's very important to us. That trophy's very important to us. All those years of training and practice, it's important to us. What's more important to God? The trophy and the name in the paper, or, and it's what I told him, the character developed by losing. You see, we mentioned the word lose in our culture, and that sounds like a sin. Let me ask you, it takes no character to win. It's easy to win. It takes character to lose. Why? I told him, I said, "You know what? Chances are I've never met you before. You seem like a great young man. But I don't think we'd be talking in this foyer right now if you had won. And we wouldn't be opening up the Bible right here in this foyer, going through these verses right now, if you had won." I said, in the long run, it doesn't feel good now, but in the long run, you will see that from this loss will come great victory of character in God. And we've lost that. I'm not saying go out and be a loser. I'm saying go out there and be a winner, yes, but when you do lose, and you will lose, I will lose. Difficulty will come. Can you give that to Christ? Can you leave that in the hand of God and understand his nature, that he is for you even when you and I lose? What if the court judgment doesn't go our way? God never changes. These are evil days we live in. People don't want anything to do with God. I understand that. But God will use that to build character in our lives. Well, there's something even more sinister to what's being mentioned here by these people that we don't catch on the surface. Jesus said, "Do you suppose, are you thinking," he's exposing their thoughts, "that these men were worse sinners? Is that what's got you going?" Watch. Jesus, with that emphatic response, "No," suggests something that every human struggles with. By them asking this and suggesting this, they're in a place of being self-justified. Meaning this: "Jesus, those guys died like that. That's a shame. They must have been real big losers. Unlike us, we're walking with you, we're listening, we're alive, things are going good. Do you hear that?" This gets right down into the very core of our soul. Because if we turn, as these men turned and recounted or brought to memory, recollected that story, oh, we conclude that we're better than those who perished. If a bunch of Christians get in an airplane and fly off to some place on a tour or on a mission trip and the plane goes down, what is that supposed to mean? It means that things happen in this life, that this is not heaven. See, we got our thinking skewed when we want heaven here and now. Nothing should go wrong. Everything should be perfect. We should all be healthy. It doesn't work that way. God is in it. And when you understand the nature of God, then you can take the things that come into your life much more powerfully and more firm. I'm not shaken. That's why the psalmist said, I'm not moved by any of these things. How can you and I not be moved by foreclosure or sickness or not getting that job that they promised you? Because my God is in control, not man. But there are situations going on in life that are atrocities. And if you think you don't like them, God doesn't like them. Well, why doesn't he do something about it? He is doing something about it. Not based upon your time scale or mine. Do you trust him that much? So what's going on truly is a sinister thought of we're justified, they're not. And that's an evil, evil place to go. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do you think that verse means? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word in the Greek for to fall short means we're all deficient. We can't make it. We're deficient. We're lacking. We don't possess what is required of us. And again, you either find that offensive or you say this morning, thank God he said that to me. Are you guys with me right now this morning? Are you guys okay? If you're still trying to save yourself in self-justification, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. Yeah, you see? Then you will be offended at Romans 3:23. You want to read it this way. Some have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I, Lord, on the other hand. You see? All have sinned. The word means, imagine when I was in high school, my coach wanted me to try out for pole vault. I thought that was a sick idea. But I loved the coach, I hated pole vaulting. I loved the coach, hated pole vaulting. So for the coach, I tried it. Okay? Did I want to make it over the top? Of course, people are watching. And I wanted to do it for him because he believed in me, even though I didn't believe in myself to make it over the top, nor did I really care to make it over the top. But when it became a track meet, I found myself very interested in myself to make it over the top. And so you run down and you plant that and you go up and I missed it. Why? After the meet, he told me everything as to where I was deficient. You were not running hard enough. You were not running strong enough. When you planted too soon, and you lost momentum. And when you went, you didn't lean back far enough. He showed me all those things. God says to us, Jack, I love you so much. I can even say, Lord, I love you too. And he says, okay, great. Now there's the Ten Commandments. Here's the stick. Take a run. And as I run and I plant, I've got all these things that keep me from making it over the top. I didn't make it. And he sits me down and he says, this is what happened, Jack. You are prone to lustful thoughts or aggression, or you are prone to whatever. And my Bible says, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt not the other. Are you with me, everybody? You're deficient in that area. And when I throw down the pole and I, oh no, what must I do to make it over the top? That's when he says, I tell you what, hang on to me. Get on my back. I'm going to show you something. He runs down, plants that pole, and over the top. In fact, not only over the top, we just keep going straight into heaven. How do I get there? Hanging on to him. He did it, I cannot. The moment you see that, when you read Romans 3:23, you say, yes. Oh yeah, I love that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not where the Bible ends. You see, he did it for us. Which leads us to this in verse 3. So what are we to do? Jesus said, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You guys, their heads must have started spinning at that moment. They came to him saying, hey, Jesus, a couple of months ago, remember that situation? They must have been big sinners, I bet you. Jesus says, that's what you think? No way. Now watch this. He just takes them right straight down to the rubber meeting the road. Jesus said, I'm telling you something. Unless you repent, you're going to perish also. What does that mean? They must have been shocked to hear him say that. He is saying, church, listen carefully. It's not how you die. You see, what happens if you burn to death in a car accident? Oh, my. Versus someone falls asleep and dies in their sleep. In our human logic, oh, the one who fell asleep and then died, that's a merciful death. Thus, God must love them more. No, sir. Things happen in this life no matter how you and I die. Jesus turns to them and says, the way you die is not the issue. Do you see this? It's not the issue. It's, are you ready to die? That's his point. Get smart. Are you ready to die? Christianity celebrates life. We don't go around cutting people's heads off. We don't blow people up. We give them the words of eternal life. We celebrate life. Our God is life. We want people to live. And that message of the cross and of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus is so powerful that if you get on the back of that truth, you will have eternal life. And Jesus is saying, are you ready to die? He warns them, you're going to perish physically. You're going to die just like they died suddenly. Notice both these accounts are sudden deaths. They were killed at the altar, and they were killed by a falling pillar.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Get Smart, a study taken from the first 9 verses of Luke chapter 13, part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we have Pastor Jack sitting here with us because he's got something to share that's been on his heart. Pastor Jack?
Thanks, Mike. Yes, on Saturday, September 11th, 2010, right here in our main sanctuary, something took place, Mike, that was quite an event. And I'm talking about our 9/11 memorial service that we host here every year at Calvary. But this year was very different in that we had Brigitte Gabriel speak to us, and she came and delivered a message that the reason why I'm interrupting this radio program right now, Mike, is to get everyone aware and in tune with the fact that what she said needs to be heard by everyone, believer or non-believer alike. She gave us a challenge regarding our God-given freedoms in America and our love for God, and that America is under attack. We may not want to think so, but the enemies of freedom and the enemies of Christianity are still attacking us. And this message that she gave broke down and unpacked the reasons why we are being attacked and the reason why 9/11 even happened at all. There is an agenda afoot. And the better we understand that agenda, the more we'll be able to respond to it. So I would encourage all of you to get your hands on this amazing teaching by Brigitte Gabriel right here on September 11th at Calvary Chapel. And you can get that into your hands with a donation of any amount. We don't want anyone to go without this. So you can do that by contacting us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And for your own learning, obtain your own copy of a tremendous blessing that took place right here at Calvary. God bless you.
Okay. Well, again, that's for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. Again, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.